This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. I've owned Tecovas for years. I love these goddamn boots. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. That's true. I never got blisters from these things. Huge fan. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Have a complimentary drink or two, which I've had, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are always at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. I can promise you that. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Yeah, let's give it up for Liquid IV.
Yeah.com,
baby. Promo code Nooners over there is going to get you 20% off your first order. Rage this weekend. Jobless on accident. I feel like it was an accidental rage this weekend.
Yeah.
And I needed some Liquid IV to start off the day. I start every day with a Liquid IV. Our kids are using Liquid IV.
Yes.
They've got the new and improved sugar-free Liquid IVs as well. And Pear is back. Pear is back. That's my favorite. Pear was my favorite there. Big fan. But hanging out, watching sports, hanging out with the friends and all that other stuff, you start boozing, lose track of time, and then you're like, oh, shit, I need to rehydrate for the week. Got to pop in that Liquid IV. Are you a daily girl? Because I don't see you every single morning all the time.
Yeah, I'm a daily girl. So I do one of the sugar-free grapes or the sugar-free apple, which are my new faves, in 24 ounces.
Okay.
So it is supposed to be just in, they say, like, put a packet in 16 ounces.
16 ounces of water.
And that's going to hydrate you double. I put in the 24-ounce, maybe onesie or twosie.
Yeah.
And go through the day.
Yeah, I had
it's life-changing.
I call it Hydration Monday here on the show because it's one of those things where, again, you go hard over the weekends, you got the kids, you're not eating great, you're boozing with some friends or whatever, and then boom, reset on Mondays, pop in the Liquid IV, and you're good to go. But it's a little pouch, that's it. You're ripping open, popping into liquid, 16 ounces or more. And you're good to go. Super easy there. Three times the electrolytes. No artificial sweeteners. 8 vitamins and nutrients. Non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Weekends are for going wild. Have a game plan for Monday with Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Superior Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Ooh, you're angry. Anger is your enemy.
Welcome to Ross Patterson Revolution, kids. We're in a weird mood tonight.
Yeah, getting loose, getting late, super, late loose.
Super strange. A lot of weird things happened today.
a lot of wild shit that I was just like, man, that is crazy. The first one, I want to get this out of the way before we get to the sponsors. Kylie Jenner was personally responsible for Snapchat losing $1.3 billion with one tweet today.
Why?
One tweet saying, I don't even use Snapchat. Had an update.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody fucking hates it.
Right.
Nobody's using Snapchat now. And she just tweeted out, is it just me or do you not use Snapchat anymore? It's sad to see what happened.
Oh.
The stock went down 7.5%, wiping out $1.3 billion from a 20-year-old's tweet.
Can you imagine having that much power?
I will say this. If I was Snapchat sitting there watching this stock fucking shit the bed today, my first call would be to Kylie Jenner and say, hey, how much of the company do you want? Because if she has that much power to get people out of there, she would have enough power to be like, hey, I'm fucking all in on Snapchat. I would make her a fucking owner. I would make her an owner.
Yeah.
Because the Kardashians, they use that shit all the time.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to me that one person is just like, hey, and that's the thing with social media. If it's not cool to whoever's cool at the moment or at the time, you're fucking done.
Yep. People feel like, oh, I've been using this totally dorky thing this whole time. Yeah.
And Kylie's not using it. I'm not going to fucking use it. So every, you know, 14-year-old out there is just like, oh my God, Kylie's not using it. This is so dumb.
Everyone else that was on Snapchat was goes. You know, like when someone's like, oh, I think that's stupid. And you're just like, oh, yeah. Me too. I've hated it the whole time, obviously.
So dumb.
Never liked it.
I've been asked for 2-3 years. Do you have Snapchat? You have Snapchat? Get Snapchat. I said, look, I have enough social media between Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram that I feel fine on that. And I also feel that, and we actually did a show about this when Snapchat went public, when they had an IPO, I said, don't get it because Facebook is going to wipe it out with Instagram stories and all that other shit. Still feel the same way.
Right.
Where it's like, what's the fucking difference?
Yeah.
It's not much. I mean, sure, the filters are a little different and, you know, you can make another set of fucking dog ears or whatever that gay shit is. But I don't want to fucking see that.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do I care. So it's like, dude, I'll hop on Instagram story. I don't care. Follow me there. You know, like I'm good to go. I don't need a fourth avenue of a fucking social media network that does the exact same thing as the other one does that I already like, let alone, you know, Snapchat is just pretty much dick pics and, you know.
It's like sex shit. I knew that already. I know everything.
Jesse, God, you were.
I knew everything about Snapchat, obviously, before you even said it to me.
The loser at the party. You spilled punch all over yourself. There's potato salad. You dropped your potato salad on the floor.
I know. I still like those filters.
That's
how dumb I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't post it. Like, I won't ever, and I have never posted the dog one
with the flower crown,
anything like that. I'll use the beauty filter. Let's be real.
Yeah, a lot of people actually have Snapchat to use the beauty filter and then take the photos off of there and then put them on Instagram.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I look like a piece of dumpster trash without that, you guys. You actually don't know what I really look like.
Because
I use a couple of different filters and all kinds of different apps to like make your face skinnier and like your eyes a different color. I change the shape of my nose, the color of my hair. Yep. So
you change the color of your skin. A lot of people don't know this. You're actually a 56-year-old black woman.
Yeah.
From Tallahassee, Florida.
Yeah. And I don't know why I would change to an older looking white woman, because white women, we age so quickly.
Horribly. Yeah.
There was like a meme where there's like four quadrants in this picture and like one is like Asian, one is black, sure, one is white woman, and like at the same age. And it's the white woman is obviously like an 80-year-old woman and all of the other ones are like looking great.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
Everyone else, Mexican, black, Asian, they can really hold up for a long time.
Oh, but those Asians, man.
But I will say this, when the Asians go, like when they come like when over
they, when
that
they crest, yeah,
it's real late. It's like 70, but yeah, still, when they come over that crest, it is such a crazy decline into like old hunchback.
I will always have a yeah, I will always have a soft spot for those Asians, you know.
You do love
they're
the
just
Asians.
So subservient and just really
yeah, you do love a hardworking
they
subservient.
Love their men more than anything in this world, and it's really something special to watch.
Sure,
really something
sure
nice to get
quite petite.
Get
quite petite, mostly
very strong hands.
Mm-hmm.
Great, like massages. Great cleaning.
Yeah.
I like very little English. I don't even want to be spoken to or looked at. Like they don't make a lot of eye contact either.
That's always so weird to me.
Asian women?
No, not Asian women. I love them. They're great.
No, I love it. They're awesome.
Their pedicures are so good.
Oh, boy.
Oh my gosh.
Super racist.
What?
Jesse, you're racist.
I am so joking. But you know the white guy that goes after the like super Asian?
Yeah.
That like can't even speak English Asian?
I know. Well, I told you, I got a buddy who
I guess it's yellow fever.
Married overseas,
like, yes,
and brought her off the stage into America and moved the whole
There's something weird about that, no?
Family back.
You don't want to hear them talk?
He was a really busy guy.
Sure.
No,
okay,
I mean,
so you're I hear you justifying it a little bit.
I'll break it down for you.
I'll hear you going like
not,
this.
Not a good looking dude.
Okay.
Worked in an office. Fair. 12 hours a day. Had a ton of money.
Yep.
Got 2 weeks vacation for the year. And was just like, fuck man, I need somebody to take care of me, yeah, take care of my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't have time to go out to the bars and all of that shit. And it's true. In his case, like I probably would have said yes to that. Like I wasn't.
Right.
So when he brought her back, I was like, oh, congratulations. That's you know, it's what you're doing. Here's what got weird though. Later on in life, he did something because he had that job for 10 years probably, right?
Okay.
Killing himself, looked terrible, unhealthy, out of shape. But again, nothing he'd do about it. He was stuck there.
Right.
And his client list was so massive in Hollywood that it was like, You can't walk away from that money. But one of the clients said, hey, come do this movie. And the movie blew up, made a shit ton of money. And they were like, look, we want to do like 3 sequels. And he was like, all right, cool. And they were like, we want you to do the money, produce it, all of it. And then you can live off of this. Tell me what we'll pay you, what you're making here. And he was like, what? And the next thing you know, like I saw him in like the Bahamas with like Keith Richards and shit.
Okay. Did he lose the wife?
Yeah, I got rid of her.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop.
Well, it turns out this is not the twist you were thinking of.
Ugh.
Not the twist you're thinking
okay
of.
Okay.
He gets bigger and bigger. She moves her family over here. And that like...
Chain migration.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Chain migration.
Family migration.
Then, you know, that was the whole thing where she was just like, look, my family's here. We're good. You know, if you want to move on and do something else, you can do that. And he was like, oh, all right, great. Let's just, how do we wrap this up? And, bought her a place, family got to stay. And then that was that.
Win-win. A win-win. Now listen, because these white women, they get very uppity, don't they?
Hell yeah, they do.
They get very, I want my own life.
Yep.
I'm not going to just
married
be
to one
serving you.
Yeah. Married to one.
Right.
Nightmare.
How annoying is
on
that?
On Elm Street.
How annoying is that for a traditional man like yourself?
The fucking
who
worst.
Loves a backhand from now and again.
Yeah.
Loves a little backhand. Yep. Loves a like, ooh, walking into the kitchen. It's a cold kitchen. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the food isn't like ready right when you want it.
Freezing. I can see icicles. Are those icicles?
It's a cold kitchen.
Is those icicles on that oven hood?
So for someone like you, it must be really hard.
It is.
To have a modern white lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Sister, I'm doing it
no,
for
it's me. Terrible. Okay. It's terrible.
Yeah,
it
I know that it's
every
hard for you.
Every day it's a burden. You know what? There was... There was a the last time I was at a church of some sort, and I saw Jesus on the cross.
Sure. You saw your own face.
No. I felt like I was him and you were my cross to bear. You know, like you were on my back.
Oh, like gorilla.
Yeah, like you were on my back.
I was the gorilla on your back.
Yeah. And that's, you know.
And that's love.
And that's, right? It was then that I carried you.
Yeah.
It was then that I carried you.
Yeah, we all know.
Hey, kids, we got a really fun, weird show tonight. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the pirate experience. The show was called...
Or Medieval Times, whatever you want to...
Pirate's yeah. Favorite Letter, where we went to a Medieval Times style restaurant and witnessed the whole show, the whole shit. And I just put a blanket statement out just saying, hey, if anyone has ever worked at one of these Medieval Times / pirate restaurants where you're, you know, part of the show and the theme and all that shit, hit me up and then I'll have you on the show and I'd love to ask you some questions about it. So, a guy named Mark hit me up and he worked at one out in Anaheim, actually.
Anaheim, really?
California, yeah, yeah. Right next to Knott's.
That's where the good ones are, you guys.
Knott's Berry Farm.
Yep, yep.
And we got into some fucking stories about it, so.
I love our listeners.
So do I. It was fucking awesome.
Amazing.
He was a fucking great guy, and he was doing it for the right reasons. Like, because I asked, I was like, yo, are you trying to be an actor or something?
Sure.
And he was like, no, man. I was in college. It was a good gig, you know.
Well,
like,
let's he worked let in the them gift shop. Listen to it.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, what we're gonna do is we're gonna do the sponsors. Then we're gonna play this phone interview and then discuss it afterwards. But it was super interesting. Where I was just like, "All right, great. Let's really break this down." And it's exactly what I thought it was.
Oh, okay.
Which is great because I
yeah. like being right. Yeah.
Not that.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I feel like I can get the gist of things just by throwing a little
observant.
A little peepsies around mm-hmm. the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I know what I'm doing in the world. I feel like I got both feet on the ground. Jabes. Let's get to the sponsor, shall we? First and foremost, we're talking about blackriflecoffee.com. Black Rifle Coffee is a premium roast-to-order coffee. What does that mean exactly? Well, it means they make it fresh inside the warehouse, they bag it up, and then they ship it out to you 2 or 3 days later. Boom, it's at your doorstep.
Yeah, they're not rebagging beans
no,
like a
not.
Lot of these places, guys.
They're
beware.
Not rebagging sons of bitches.
They're not, yeah, they're not rebagging carpet baggers.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
They've got a subscription to the month club, some of the finest apparel in the land. They got K-cups, they got bags. My two blends are the caffeinated as fuck and the just black. I get them shits shipped to my house once a month. With a subscription of the month club. It's fucking amazing. I don't have to go anywhere, and it's about four bucks cheaper than Costco. Plus, they're veteran-owned, so if you want to help out some veteran-owned companies, do the damn thing. Also, go to Black Rifle Coffee's Instagram and check out their stories. They're always running, like, sweet promos there. Go to blackriflecoffee.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. It is now a one-time code. Apparently, like, all of our listeners were fucking just killing Black Rifle. Which is awesome.
Right.
They were like, hey, this is, we're going to have a one-time use of Revolution. And I was just like, all right, I'll tell them. I'll tell them. Yeah.
We'll break the news.
Yeah, we'll break the news. So it is a one-time use. With that, if I, like this is what I did, and this is no lie. With the one-time use, I used it and got the subscription of the month. So that way it was 20% off, and that lasted for
That's smart.
All of my subscriptions, yeah.
Or you can get a bunch, like they always have like deals of like 5, 6, 10 bags, whatever,
yeah,
for like
a
low price. And then you use it on that.
Yeah.
Killing
the
it.
Subscription, I'm telling you, once you get used to it,
do it.
You can't really
do
go
it.
Back after that. Mm-mm. Cause I do that with our next sponsor, Strikeforce Energy. We get this subscription to our house. We use it every fucking month. And I don't think about it.
Yeah.
And fucking shit is cheap as shit. Like Strikeforce is $9.95 a box.
Can't beat it.
Yeah, it's $10. With the 20% off using the promo code REVOLUTION at StrikeForceEnergy.com, it's like, fuck, dude. What are you looking at? $8 a box? And they ship everywhere in the entire world, and it's like stealing it. Like two fucking monsters or more than that.
Yeah.
And this just squeezes, is a tasty, tiny little tin pouch. Squeezes in any liquid available. They got four amazing flavors. They've got original, lemon, orange, and Make America Grape Again.
Blammo.
Big fan of it. They also got a 750 milliliter bottle that sits on your bar top or countertop. You can just pop a couple squirts in and boom, boom. Be on your motherfucking way. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Same with Black Rifle. REVOLUTION, 20% off. Boom. Next up, we've got StraightRazors.com.
Sweet, sweet.
Ooh. StraightRazors.com has the finest shaving products that a man could use and or want and or need. They're so good that if you're going to marry someone from overseas and have them shave you, I would have them do it with Straight Razors kit. And the new book, by the way, When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It, that comes out in July, sequel to A Night She Cries While He Rides the Steed. I go into an in-depth, intense shaving scene in there.
Yeah. And the listeners will recognize
yes.
what that is.
Just know that I wrote that for you guys, and I'm excited for you to read it, because when you do, you'll be like, oh, fuck, dude.
This motherfucker.
He talks about this all the time. The rest of the world will have no idea, but...
Who cares about the rest of the fucking world? Fuck them, dude.
Pull their fucking pants down.
God damn it.
Fuck them. Fuck them from behind. StraightRazors.com's got not only the finest straight razors, but their aftershave. Get their aftershave. Just get a bottle of Smolder. Throw that on your fucking mousetrap and watch the beavers play. No, just...
So confused.
Throw it on your face. Get going with your life. Go to StraightRazors.com. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Get a kit. Support the show. Get a nice razor kit for that. Last but not least, we've got Kayu app. Kayu app. That's K-A-Y-U. Sexy app. It's for sexy individuals. Ugly people need not apply. I'm kidding. That's not true. I don't. Jeez. If they're listening to the show, they're probably like, what the fuck? You can be ugly. You can look whatever you want. On this app,
it's definitely not about that. So let's talk about what it's about.
It's always about that.
For you.
No, what it is it's a new social media app that combines travel, lodging, partying all in one. And, you know, if you're looking to meet up with cool people, go to a concert, split some costs on some shit. I'm not saying you could maybe rent a hotel room together, split the cost, and then have a fucking three-way, but you can do that.
Sure.
You have that option.
Oh, yeah.
All of these options are on the table. You want to go to Coachella, split a fucking hotel together, Rage.
If you want to go water rafting.
Yeah, you want to go hiking with somebody.
Shooting. Yeah. If you want to go hiking.
If you want to go hiking up Mount Kilimanjaro with no training whatsoever, you can find somebody.
These are your peeps. You're going to find somebody that's like, yeah, dude, I'm down.
I'll fucking do it. Let's go.
I'll fucking party.
Yeah, I'll fucking hike Kilimanjaro.
Right.
So look, it comes out March 10th. Download the app, the Kayu app. Also, download this app if you're in Charleston, South Carolina. They are throwing a massive rager on St. Paddy's Day, and they're giving away free drinks and beer in all the bars, but you have to have the Kayu app downloaded on your phone. And it's free. You don't have to fucking do anything. It's a fucking free app.
Why not?
Let's throw it on there. This phone conversation was free too. Mark Weiss is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I might not be. It's W-Y-S-E. And with Twitter or with Instagram handles, you don't know people's real names. A lot of people ask me, like, why are you St. James Street James? And I'm like, come on,
and you say,
bro.
Fuck you, dude. Fuck you, get dude. Off. Block them.
Yeah, get
they
off
ask
my dick. Get off my dick,
block
sack.
Them immediately.
Yeah. Why the fuck would you ask me that? No, I have been asked that before. The reason is somebody took Ross Patterson. It's somebody from like fucking England or something. But luckily they have right. this verification thing, so... I've got a blue check mark next to my name, and you know who I am.
Happy.
That way people know.
I'm so happy for you.
My new Stallone series, by the way, if you are on Instagram.
That's pretty good.
Go to @STJames, and I've been doing some weird shit lately on there. The Stallones, no reason.
Yeah.
No reason I'm doing a Stallone impression.
None.
In these Instagram stories, but they're up.
They're up. They're weird.
They're super weird. There's a lot of weird shit on there. Let's call him. Let's get to the interview with Mark here and get him on the horn, and then you guys take a little listen, and then we'll chat afterwards, shall we?
Sounds good.
Bling, bling.
Hello.
Hey, is this Mark?
This is Mark.
Yo, it's Ross Patterson. How are you, man?
Doing good. How about you?
Dude, it is a nice, sultry, foggy night here in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
Out in California, it's kind of freezing.
Is it really?
It's quite cold. A little nipply out.
Where are you out in California?
Anaheim.
Anaheim. All right, cool. Yeah, shit, we'll be in LA in like a week.
Yeah, it's literally 45 minutes away.
Yeah, yeah, you'll have to come and join us. We're going to do a night out. But I'm calling because you hit me up after we did that pirate show.
Yes, I did.
I want to give a quick recap to the audience of what it is. It's essentially medieval times, but it's a pirate show inside of an arena that's kind of like a play or like a Cirque du Soleil type of vibe, right?
Correct.
And you worked in one in California?
Yeah, Buena Park, right across the street from Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, no way, dude. We used to go to Knott's Berry Farm all the time.
It's right next to a medieval times, too.
Yeah, of course.
Like next door.
Yeah, it's literally right next door. What I have so many questions. Thank you for doing the show, by the way.
No problem.
First of all, what made you want to start working there? Because I've had a theory about people who work there. I would love to hear why you started working there.
It's perfect for, I worked there during college, and it's perfect for the hours during college, because it's like 4 hours right after class. So I'd head over there, and then I'd head right home and do all my homework.
Oh, no way. That's great.
Yeah, and that's how most of like, because I worked in the gift shop and like ticket booth.
Okay.
So, and that's most of the ticket booth and gift shop, or the, like kind of the same thing. But we also had some weirdos that worked there, man.
Yeah, you would have to be. Because, like I said on my last show, when I was talking about the pirates, everybody was in character. The lead guy who was getting the girl in the show, you know, at the end, like, because it was two opposing pirates, like a blue team and a red team. And the guy who got the girl at the end was clearly gay.
Sounds about right.
is that pretty stock standard for the pirate world?
Yeah, actually. Probably about half of the actors, I would say.
Really?
Yep, on the other team.
Wow. So let me ask you this, because this is different. Like, I'm in the pirate one I was at was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I live in Wilmington, North Carolina. But I lived in LA for 17 years, and I still split time there. I'm probably in LA about four to 5 months out of the year. With that location being so close to Hollywood, are those people genuinely trying to be actors who are working there?
Well, most of them. I don't know how the one in Wilmington is, but there's a lot of stunts that go on in the one in Buena Park.
Yeah. Same.
And most of them actually stunt actors. Like, we had like a Vin Diesel double.
Really?
For one of our guys. Yeah.
That's fascinating. Does it pay well? Because the show is like an hour and a half. It's about 90 minutes.
Yeah, they do also have to get there early, like an hour early, and do like warm-ups and stuff.
Okay.
So it's a little longer. It ends up being a little bit longer than that. But yeah, man.
Because it's a rigorous show, and I was thinking, like, dude, this can't be a $15 an hour job, right?
No, they get paid per show, not per hour.
Okay.
And it's about like $150 to $200, depending on how long you've been there.
Gotcha. And how many shows a week do you guys do?
Every day of the year it's open.
Holy fuck.
Christmas, yeah, holidays. And then on the weekends, it's two shows.
So
Saturday, Sunday, it's double shows.
Could you work every day if you wanted to?
I think there's like a rule that like after like 7 days a week, you have to take a break.
You got to take a day off?
I think, yeah, because there's... It ends up being like 25 actors altogether.
Oh, okay.
And then, so you have like the people who have like other jobs that do that.
Sure.
The people who, and then there's the people who want to like become actors. But then you also have the people who are stuck there, like the actors that are just stuck and they're not ever probably going to leave.
Yeah, that's the way I felt about the one in Myrtle Beach, where I was just like, you know, you look at half of them. Some of them look older in their 30s. Some of them were in their 40s. And at the end of the show, like four of the main guys, like they announced their real names and broke character at the end of the show and said, I'm Troy Smith and I played the captain of this ship. And I was like, man, that's weird. Why did these guys get to break character at the end and tell their names unless they didn't want to, you know, they wanted to be famous or they were lifers there?
Right. From my experience, there are the people who get stuck there, and those ones are like, they're douchebags, man. Like they think hot shit and everything. But like, you also have like the guys who are either coming down off their careers of like being stunt doubles or anything like that.
Right.
And they're super cool.
That's cool.
And you also have like the gymnasts, like there's gymnasts that don't become like Olympians. I don't know if you had like the aerial acrobatic stuff.
We had all that. So there was the girls in particular. And there was like one black guy who was fucking incredible, but the girls in particular were like, I mean, it was full on like either gymnasts or strippers. And I couldn't tell which. Cause they were,
yeah, man, there's actually a funny story about stripping. One of our, actors, our captain.
Yeah.
He was like Playgirl of the Year in like 1958.
It would look 1858 would be a little tough before the, you know, right during the heart of the Civil War.
He was pretty old. He was pretty old. He might have been in the Civil War. You might want to check it out or something.
Oh,
yeah, man. But so the story is, I was working in gift shop and one of my managers called me over and it was a girl. And she has this picture zoomed on like our captain's face and he looks kind of younger. And so I go over there and she's like, do you know who this is? I was like, yeah, it's the captain. And so she kind of like lets her fingers off the zoom and it zooms out of the picture and it's him posing butt ass naked.
No, do you see his dick? Did you see dong at all?
I saw the whole thing. I could never look at him the same.
Wow. You saw the whole fucking buffet. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How many people, let me ask you this. How many people are fucking in that cast? Cause like, I wondered, like I looked at the hot girls who were there and I was like, man, I bet you that's a thing of like, I want to fucking rail the love interest or shit like that.
Yeah. Okay. So when I was working there, we had like, I don't know if you had like a princess in your show.
We did. Yeah.
So like our princess was married to one of the actors.
Ah.
But other than that, what I heard was they get around a lot.
I knew it. I fucking knew it. Just by the looks of them, I was like, man, I bet you these fucking girls get down.
And what you probably wouldn't expect is a lot of like the people who come to watch the show, like the audience.
Yeah.
They get busy too, man. We've caught like, for the 2 years that I was working there, there was like 10 people that got caught fucking in like our side stairs.
You're kidding me. It seems like
nope, and they like found panties all over the place and everything.
Holy shit. It seems like a kid environment, but what I will say that we talked about in the last show was that Jesse and I were super surprised that there was couples that came without children there, and I was like, man, why would you do this on a Tuesday night?
I'll probably say about 50% of the people who come are just without children, without anything.
Just to enjoy the family. Show, or is that something they're into, or like,
because
there's a weird pirate underworld, you know that, right?
Yes. No. I definitely know. I've seen all the people who come. Some people, a lot of, like, we had a lot of parties of one. Either they're like really weird and they have crushes on the actors, because we had these people called super fans.
Sure.
And there's people that would come every weekend.
Yeah, and the couple next to me, now that you said that, didn't even eat their fucking food. They were just there for the show, and I was like, man, this is weird.
And I mean, it's not a cheap show to do that like every weekend.
No, it's expensive. Like I want to say, all in all, you know, our tickets were like 50 or 75 bucks a piece.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah,
They're coming every weekend just to see the show.
Wow. And did they know all the actors and all that shit?
They did know all the actors. We had these one people who would take pictures with them, and we were open for like 10 years, and they've been coming all 10 years, and they have like pictures and like flowers, like, you know, like they could throw out like flowers or beads or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have all the stuff that they've collected over the times, and they put it on their table, and they just, they ask for no food, and they just have like a shrine dedicated to them in front of them.
No way. Has anybody ever, like audience members ever fucked the pirates?
I would actually not know about that.
Like how hard,
I didn't hear anything about that.
How hard would it be for me to get a number from one of the pirates? Like, or do they frown upon that?
I'm sure it'd be pretty easy. Cause I mean, we have people like wait, cause they're probably done and probably 30 minutes after the show. So if you just wait around in the parking lot,
that's the tip, so, huh? No shit.
Yeah. Just wait right by the exit.
Wow. Is there people waiting out in the parking lot for these, you know, men and women?
Yes, there definitely is. There's usually, it's hard to tell because there's families just like talking. A lot of like family, we had like a lot of family reunions.
Right.
So we had like a lot of people just kind of like hanging out in the parking lot, but there's also the people who like wait for people to like come out.
That is fucking insanity. Absolute insanity. Was it a good job? Like, did you enjoy working there?
No, it definitely was a good job. There's like all the people there are super friendly besides the actors who are never going to go anywhere. The ones that are stuck.
Right.
These guys think they're famous, but probably about 10 people know them.
Yeah, I you know, when I was there, it was one of those things where it was just like, fuck, if you don't have any aspirations to be an actor or anything, like, shit, that's, it seemed like a fun, cool gig.
Yeah. And I don't know, around here there's different amusement parks that have like little shows, and a lot of them are doing that too, and I don't know how well that pays, but that's their other job. That's their side job.
Yeah, you think they roll over to Knott's Berry Farm and try to pick up a gig as like Snow White and shit?
Yeah, exactly. And then like we also have like the Disneyland and then Six Flags. I know one guy was doing like running around the park and doing like stunts and everything at like Six Flags.
Look, man, work is work. You know,
another crazy thing that happens there is we had at least 5 people get married there. Like they bought out the whole thing, and we'd have to come in early to work. And they had their wedding there, like on the ship.
You're fucking joking me. What is one charge crazy for a wedding on the pirate ship inside that place?
To actually get, because it's they have their wedding there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have like the whole show. They have a show after. So it's kind of like mixed in, and to buy out a show, it's $15,000.
Okay.
And so that's what we'll run for like a wedding. We'll just let you have like an extra time in before the show, and they have the sold out show for them. And then they'll run a regular show at the very end of the night.
Holy shit. Getting married on the pirate ship. Like that's something I would do just to do it. You know, not as like a real thing, obviously, but
yeah, exactly.
Fuck, $15,000 just to have all of that shit go on around you and get married on that pirate ship.
You get all like, it's like for a wedding, that's not bad, though.
That's great. You get food. I'm assuming you get food,
again,
seating, parking.
Pirates.
Yeah. I mean, look, some people look at that as a downside. I look at that as a positive.
Take the wins with the losses.
Yeah, exactly. Like if somebody came up and was like, you know, are you ready to get married? That like that type of shit. Like
I would every single pirate joke in the book, man.
I'd play along. What's the most popular pirate joke you've ever heard?
The most popular is like, what's a pirate's favorite letter?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are just like R, but there was one guy that was like, you may think it'd be R, but it's really the C. I thought that was kind of funny.
That's a good pirate one. Yeah,
it was clever.
I like how I wasn't clever, and that's what I named the episode, was a pirate's favorite letter.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if he's going to touch on that.
Oh, yeah. When you pulled up that episode, we were like, oh, fuck, dude, I work there. Like, I guarantee you this is it.
And then you were talking about it. Like, I was like, oh, pirates, haha, that's kind of funny. Like, I worked there for 2 years. And then you actually were talking about pirates, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. No, we went. It was like, I'll break it down for you. It was Valentine's Day. Some of my best friends and their kids, they take their kids to see it on Valentine's Day. It's kind of like their tradition. So they invited us and our child. And so we went down there, and it was a blast. But again, like I ended up sitting next to 2 people who didn't eat their meals and were strictly
there
for the show. Yeah, they were strictly there for the show. And the ones who were there like knew to get there early, so you could see like the pre-show out in the lobby.
Right.
I'm assuming you guys had that too. It's probably the same place, right? Probably just a franchise.
Yep. I think actually, I don't know if they're owned by the same people, because the one that in Buena Park is, there's also another one in Orlando, but I haven't heard about one
in Myrtle
North
Beach,
Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, either way, samesies all the way around, but
yeah, we had a guy move to a Carolina. I'm not sure which Carolina. That was an actor. He might be working at that Pirates. Who knows?
Hey, look, next time I go, I'll let you know. I'm going to see if Jesse will try to let me slide some digits.
Seriously, you got to stay after the show.
Yeah, to the Fair Maidens Way out in the parking lot afterwards. Well, dude, I appreciate the time this evening. And what are you doing now, by the way, in real life?
I am actually doing pharmaceuticals. I'm repackaging pharmaceuticals.
Okay, that's a decent paying job. Any good drugs?
Yeah, exactly.
Any good drugs?
What's up? I get vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
I'll send you some vitamin D over.
Yeah, look, it's good for your skin. That's the rumor.
Yeah,
at least.
None of the fun stuff though. No Vicodin or any of that.
No. I long time ago, years ago, I dated this girl who sold Viagra. And, yeah, so it was just like, oh, all right. Yeah. That she was like, I get a good one. And then like she made friends with other like drug reps who had good drugs. But most of the time, look, 99% of the time it's the shitty ones where it's like Alexa,
just vitamins,
Alexa Pro or vitamins or, you know, where you're just like, great.
Yep. I spent all day counting, stool thinners.
Oh boy, there's nothing like a good stool thinner. If that's one of my problems in this life is having too thick of a stool, I'd probably just kill myself. I'd probably just end it, you know?
You know, I stay awake at night just wishing for thinner stools.
I'm sure there's a good portion of the population that does. I just don't want to know them. Like that's something I never want to know about friends, family, or loved ones. Like I don't know that about.
You keep to yourself.
Yeah, I don't know that about my wife. I have no idea. I have no idea. Well, hey man, I appreciate you taking the time and doing the show, and that was super fascinating. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Awesome, dude. Have a great night, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
How cool was that guy?
That is awesome. I mean, behind the curtain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were really let in.
Behind the candelabra.
It was like you were able to rehearse with them and do like a whole in-depth documentary piece.
I feel like I was Michael Douglas and he was Matt Damon behind the candelabra. Yeah.
No, that's but
that is
how
a super
cool.
Inside joke, by the way. If anybody's seen Behind the Candelabra on HBO. You will know what I'm talking about. No, it was great. And
I love all of it.
I love how it was exactly what I pictured, where it was like people were fucking.
And then also, it doesn't seem that bad.
The craziness of it, like, because I told him that the couple next to us didn't eat, you know? Like, they didn't have a meal. And I was just like, man, they're just here for the fucking shows. Mm. People come all the time, man. And he goes, dude, it's not cheap. And I was like, no, it's not.
You know? No.
So, I get it. And there's a lot of people have a pirate fetish. Like that's a thing. Remember when we went to we took our child down to that pirate ship?
That's what I was saying. Is makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, because they were super into it, and
and they're like that all the time. Yeah. I got like an inside track on like the main Blackbeard looking guy.
Yeah, what's his fucking sitch?
He's like that all the time.
Oh god.
So he dresses like that. He talks like that. Not his real accent, but he talks like that, like
to normal people on the street. That's fucking insane.
Lives his and he's older, but like when you dye the hair black and tan,
I could tell. I could tell,
but like in his mind when he looks in the mirror,
yeah,
he's still got it.
Party popping, pussy popping.
Yep, he's still, you know, Blackbeard.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I could see that with him, and I could see that with people in the show as well. We were just like, man, I bet you they live that life outside of these ropes, you know, outside the confines of the friendly ship.
But then there's some that I like to hear from Mark that it's like, listen, just a job. It's chill. It might even be better than your fucking office job. Yeah, exactly. I make this much.
And that's what I told him. I was like, dude, it sounds like a cool gig.
Yeah, not bad.
The only way I find it depressing, and this is what he said, obviously, was like, if you're a fucking actor who's just like, oh, I'm going to make it out of here, you're not making it out of the pirate show. That's just not.
Yeah, but
you'd have
for
a better
extra,
shot at winning the lottery.
Right. But for extra money and the
fucking
hours, it sounds like you could still go to your audition during the day. Maybe make it late to rehearsal. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You can't be late to rehearsal, Jesse.
Why?
You can't be late to pirate rehearsal.
Oh, you could call and there be like, hey, guys.
Pyrotechnics involved. There is people jumping around, flipping. Your life depends on each other on that ship.
Okay, well, I would be fired.
Yeah, you would be.
Because I would be like, our matey.
Not me.
I'd call my mateys.
Yeah, no, not me. I would fully submerge. I'd go DDL. I'd go Daniel Day-Lewis at the pirate ship. I would. If that was my life. And I was like, all right, cool. This is what I do. And this is who I am. I'm going all in.
Sure.
I'm going deep. I'm going deep cover on that ass. And I'm going to be a fucking pirate. Mm-hmm. I'd probably go like the other guy that you see around town.
Oh, okay.
That would be my life and be like, all right, cool.
Be delusional.
Nothing depressing about it either.
It's like, do you remember Dodgeball? Do you remember that one guy?
Oh, yeah.
That it's like that. There's real people. That character was
Alan
made from.
Tudyk is his name.
Was a real character that they had met. Yeah.
And the weird thing is like anybody who's been to a coastal town, Wilmington's one of them. Myrtle Beach, where we saw the show, is obviously one of them. You will find at least one or two people in that town who think they're fucking pirates and they're living this life. you're also going to find people that are living the Margaritaville lifestyle, like Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
And those fucking people are out in full force. And there was an article about Buffett the other day. It just said what a shrewd businessman he was and like how he's almost made $1 billion. And they were like, man, he's definitely not living this fucking easy life like he says. And it was like, motherfucker, are you surprised? Are you fucking surprised?
Do you think this shit just fucking happens naturally?
Yeah. And he's like, dude, there's like 400 Margaritaville restaurants. Like, Jimmy Buffett does not play. All of this shit is for money. Like, yeah. Does he love to play music? You bet he does. You think he wants to play fucking Margaritaville every goddamn night? No. Have you heard that song? You play that song. Just play it. You don't have to see Jimmy Buffett. Just play it in your fucking house once a day. Try 20 days and see if you don't want to kill yourself by day 10.
Right.
Just listen to Margaritaville once a day.
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Oh, God. Yeah. That'll be your B-side on that. Cheeseburger in Paradise. You know what's weird?
His throat.
Is he was writing, I think he was writing music for theme restaurants before, like, that was probably his dream, or he was like, fuck.
In the Bahamas, yeah.
Yeah. If I could just write theme music for the restaurants that I want to open, I can manifest my own fucking destiny, and this will be the lifestyle I'll create. This fucking pirates,
I'll have a parrot.
Yeah, parrot heads, the whole fucking thing. Like
it is easy living.
Oh, it is a beautiful, beautiful branding idea, and he has executed it. Flawlessly.
Easy.
So flawless, in fact, that like, here's how rich Jimmy Buffett is. He sits, used to. I don't know if he's allowed back anymore, but he sits courtside at the Miami Heat games.
Why is he not allowed back?
Because he got fucking hammered and walked out onto the court and started yelling at a referee. And they were like, whoa, what the fuck? And it was during the LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh era.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it was during the Heatles era. And he got out there pissed drunk, fucking.
No chill.
Probably no shoes or socks on. Mm-hmm. And was just like, whoa.
Tommy Bahama. No,
yeah. And he's like, motherfucker, I'm Jimmy Buffet. And I've got my dirty little feet inside of 90,000 restaurants across this planet. You are not going to tell me to sit down.
Right.
You're not going to tell me shit.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that.
What a fucking genius, man. Because is there any new music by Jimmy Buffett? Does he play anything? I went to a show, by the way, when I was a kid.
Oh, Lord.
This will be a fun story.
Lord.
No, it actually is a really fun story, by the way. So
I don't think you could have a bad, especially as a kid, how could you have a bad time at a Jimmy Buffett concert?
I want to say I was like 14 years old and my dad was emceeing the concert.
Got it.
Of course, in that town. And he was just like, hey, when we had to take this, like, I don't know, shit, like the shuttle bus over to backstage or whatever it was. And like, there were all these women, like, you know, even back then, like at 14, like there were all these women in their late 30s, early 40s, just cougars, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were just like, hey.
Tan.
Yeah. Yeah. Hitting on me and all
blonde,
this shit.
But like keeping it curly, like natural curl.
Yeah. Yeah. And this woman gave me a wine cooler at 14. I looked over at my dad and he was just like, he goes, it's Jimmy Buffett. Like, go ahead and take a couple swills, you know? And I was like, all right, cool. You know? And talked to the ladies, went to the thing, and like inside the concert itself, like as a Jimmy Buffett concert goes on, it is like you would think you're at a Grateful Dead show, not like 1974, where it's just like everybody's free spirited, nobody's on acid,
right? But they're just
smoking weed,
high on life, yeah,
smoking weed, drinking wine coolers, mm-hmm. margaritas, like all that shit is real. And it's like peace, love, isn't this amazing? Yeah, we're on the island together, fucking everybody goes back to that one Jamaican vacation they had, and for that one night they're living their best self.
This is making me so uncomfortable.
And I'll never forget this, the wine cooler that I had was one of those, it was a Bartles and James margarita wine cooler.
Yeah. Was it pink or like a
yellow?
Green.
Okay. It was green. Yeah. So I was set the fuck off. And, you know, you're walking through this fucking, he's not wearing, no lie, Jimmy Buffett's not wearing shoes or socks on stage. Mm-hmm. He's got a lay on of some sort, a Hawaiian shirt, and like these, they were like cut off jean shorts.
Yes.
They were super small. And I was like,
that is,
man,
the uniform for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, people had the fucking time of their life. Like they
including you.
Yeah. I didn't get down on the music. Like I was from an early age. Like I knew what music I appreciated and which music I didn't. Mm. And I did not get down on the music, but the atmosphere was cool.
Okay.
So I can always get down at any concert if there's a cool atmosphere. Like Fish, always a great atmosphere where you're just right. Like, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Somebody could give me mushrooms. I could get something pierced. Like, you never know going into mm-hmm. one of those shows. Mm-hmm. And their music's good enough for me where I'm like, all right, great.
Barter my shoe for a bottle of water.
Yeah. And half a fucking grilled cheese.
I could barter my sandal, my leather sandal, for half a grilled cheese.
Yeah. For half a Jersey Mike sub, like a quarter of a Jersey Mike Italian sub. Like, oh. Can I have a quarter of that? Yeah. Let me have your leather sandal.
Mm-hmm.
Your left leather sandal.
One. Yeah. Yep.
And so I can get down with a good atmosphere. And that's anywhere, by the way. Like,
okay.
Not only concerts, but like chain restaurants. Like, I'm a chain restaurant eating motherfucker. Because, like, you walk in and there's a comforting aspect to these restaurants.
Oh, my God. We're so the opposite.
Who?
You and I.
No, I know.
Okay.
But it probably like
that
because
that atmosphere is not good to me.
I don't mind it. You walk in, you know, you walk into an Outback Steakhouse. You see those fucking giant knives out everywhere. You know, you're getting that brown pumpernickel bread.
Oh,
that
pump.
Pumpernickel.
Send over the pull.
Yeah, give me that pumpernickel bread. And, you know, you're throwing half a stick of butter on it.
Just to make it edible.
You're cutting it open with that Crocodile Dundee knife.
Sure. Cold as shit.
Yeah. You know, within 5 minutes, 5 to 8 minutes of sitting down, that a blooming onion is on its way.
It's about to just drop in your
lap. Drop on the motherfucking table, and things are about to get greasy.
Okay.
You know when they give you the drink menu that you're going to get a wallaby darned. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that. And you're like, tell them to put an extra shot in because I know you're fucking me on the liquor.
Yeah,
it's
going
to
come in a glass mason jar with a handle.
Feel great about it.
Maybe a little umbrella. Sure.
Same with Olive Garden. Olive Garden, you roll in. Here's the thing. You laugh. But when I explain this to you, you'll understand it. I know there's going to be that fucking bowl, that clear bowl of salad that's going to come out that is delicious. Mm-hmm. With the best croutons on the planet.
Sure.
I know that they're going to fucking rack that, what kind of, that Parmesan cheese over it.
Uh-huh.
It's going to come out finely shredded over the salad bowl.
Grated.
And yeah. I know this, my salad plate is going to be colder than the fucking Antarctic.
That's true. And way too small. You're right. You're right.
The Antarctic
the bread's
crust.
Gonna be gorgeous and greasy, way too greasy on the outside, way too and dry on the inside.
And it's
yeah.
endless. The bread is endless, and you're like, all right, oh, awesome. And from there on out, to me, and whatever wine you get, obviously, but from there on out, to me, it doesn't even matter what my dish is, what I get there. Like, I don't have a go-to at Olive Garden where I'm like, all right, cool. I eat so much goddamn bread and salad that the dish itself, whatever the main dish is, afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yeah, great. Moving on with my life. And I love that. I love that. Like, I know exactly what I'm going to get there. Same with BW3s or what is it? Buffalo Wild Wings? Now?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo
yeah.
Wild Wings. Same thing with Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, dude, I know what I'm getting in there every single time. I know the wings are going to be to my liking. Mm-hmm. I know how long I want them cooked.
Right.
And I know I'm getting a tall beer. You want a small beer? A tall beer. You want a tall beer? Or you want a small beer?
Are you a real man? Or are you a
little baby?
Little baby.
Little baby.
Pussy man. Are you a pussy man? Are you a big boy?
Yeah. And I know I'm getting that fucking big ass beer.
Sure.
That I could literally just lean, rest my chin on top of it on the table and just kind of look around. Like, I know I'm getting that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel great. I feel great about it.
So you like the predictability.
The comfort. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So when you roll in, you know what you're going to get. Whereas you go to a new restaurant that you haven't been to before.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably attest to this. If you go into a new restaurant you haven't been before versus like something that you know is tried and true and is already good and it sucks. So you go to this new restaurant, it fucking sucks.
So disappointing.
Yes. And you wasted your fucking night.
More
you got
than
a,
anything.
You got a babysitter. Mm-hmm. You went out. You did the whole fucking thing. Then you try to convince yourself the rest of the night that you liked some element of that meal, which is totally not fucking true.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, no, but the stuffed mushrooms were good at
sure.
that place that were the thing. And the barefoot wine was all right.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
So there is nights, and I've said this to you aloud, where I was just like, let's choose comfort over some fucking weird place that's, you know, Danny's Throwing Stars. Where I don't know what's going on at Danny's Throwing Stars.
But when it works for me, the risk and reward.
Yeah, it's worth it.
When it does work and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I've heard about this place. I've read about this place. I'm here now.
And
the atmosphere
great.
Is amazing. Yep. The food is like, you're freaking out about it.
Yep.
Then that's like exactly what I go for.
Yeah, so, it's great. It's
you know,
just
a hit and miss.
But there's times where, you know, you feel like you're in the mood for something comfortable.
Sure.
Others where you're like,
sure.
I want to risk it. Like,
I go Macaroni Grill over Olive Garden.
No, fuck off.
Don't even look at me.
I can't even get down on that. The only
don't
thing good about
look at me.
Macaroni Grill is their salads to me. Okay. I don't get down on Macaroni Grill. I don't. Applebee's? Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir. Those potato skins at Applebee's, go fuck yourself. They're incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not happy about that dollop of sour cream they give to you because that's not enough.
Sure.
You know, you're going to have to order extra. But I get down on Applebee's. Chili's, forget it. Same onion is Outback Steakhouse.
Right.
But their fajitas, when those things are fucking sizzling across the restaurant,
sure.
It is on. The whole restaurant stops and looks at your plate of fajitas and they're like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. Everybody turns to their significant other at other tables and says, literally in unison, as those fucking sizzling fajitas come riding through that restaurant like Aladdin on a fucking magic carpet, they turn to their loved one and say, I should have got the fajitas. Every single time. And you're like, yep, guess what? The big guy got the fajitas. Boom, boom.
Yep.
This dude got the fucking fajitas.
I win.
Yeah. I'm a magical little hombre.
Yeah. I want my baby back.
Oh, God.
I want my... Chili's.
But there's cities that you go to where you can't, I don't feel like you can win. Like Myrtle Beach.
Do not go out on a limb.
I don't know where you eat there.
You'd have to literally hear, like someone would have to tell you, like a bunch of people would have to tell you about one certain place.
Florida, where my parents live, like that Jacksonville area-ish, heading down that coast. It's like, I don't know many restaurants going in and down that coast where you're just like, Wilmington's hit and miss. There's a couple restaurants I would recommend to people, but that's about it.
Maybe that's the thing is when you're by the water, you can stay alive from just your location.
Yeah.
So your food does not have to be good. So like, it's kind of like beware of a place that's like right on the water or like an amazing location like that.
A town where
a lot of people move through tourist wise.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they could get complaints.
They don't care.
Yeah. They're moving through town. No one's going to take the time to be like, make a big stink about it. They'll just be like, that wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Remember that place we ate on our
vacation? That little beachy place we went to?
Yeah.
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 And I fucking stunk up the condo we rented. Yeah.
Boy.
My asshole opened up in front of the whole family. And,
sure.
Like, that's the fun story you have about that place where it's just like, all right, sweet.
Right.
Never order the octopus in season, I guess.
Yeah. And it's just like, whatever. If it's a place in town, you spread the, like in the town that you live, you spread the word.
Yeah, of course.
You're like,
course.
Do you're like, not go there.
Don't go there.
Yeah.
And what I find hilarious was Guy Fieri was here doing Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And
I stalked the shit out of him.
I was out of town.
Yeah.
Our local paper here, which we do not subscribe to, but they got a hold of the locations of where we were shooting. So I told you, somebody sent it to me and I told you, and I was like, hey, you should probably hop on down to these. But there was two restaurants on there when I was like, oof, yeah, that place sucks.
Yeah.
Like, what's he going to say about that fucking shitty?
And I wonder if, you know, because he doesn't go to these places first. So he gets all the recommendations.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he probably either went and nixed it or like sent out production first to be like, which one of these is the real? And so the places that he did end up actually going that I know of for sure are the ones that he should have gone to. Do you know what I mean?
Did he get a sweet and savory? Yes or no?
I don't think so.
Okay. Cause
I
don't like sweet and savory.
Yeah.
I don't like that place.
No. And there was one that was like, not fish bites, but something like that where you're like, something fishy or something like that where like it's not good, guys. So I he's here. It's like anyone else, you hear about it from across the pond, then you go and you're like, oh, this is not what it was like in the pictures. You roll out.
I heard fish bites is the jam, by the way.
Fish bites, yes. Something fishy, no.
All right, I haven't been either, but whatever.
Cool.
But for Fieri's
standards, you know.
Look,
they have to be pretty high.
He went to Fork and Cork, and that place is the jam. So
the jam. He went Fork and Cork. He went Copper Penny, which actually has a couple good things. He went to Ceviche, which is like this amazing new Mexican place here.
Okay.
He got around Iron Skillet for like a breakfast.
Copper Penny is another name for a man's asshole. You know that, right? Yeah.
No, so it's just a penny. A copper penny.
It's a wrinkled penny.
A wrinkled penny, yes. Copper Penny, no.
Wow. That's the same color. It's copper. So I'm just saying, maybe he, you know, it's code for, meet me around back. And,
I don't know. Maybe that is
when
what
we
the
do
deal
these late
is.
Shows like this, it just gets fucking weird.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. Do you think the people like it, or are they just like, what are these goon?
I don't know.
Goon hounds.
I want to talk about one of our listeners sent me a Philadelphia Eagles beer opener, a bottle opener that was in the shape of a dick with wings on it. Fly Eagles fly. And I want to thank him. I want to thank him for that. That's a real thing, by the way.
It's a real thing that happened.
I bitched about the Eagles beating the Falcons and how terrible that game was in general. And I was like, neither of these teams are fucking Super Bowl quality. And of course, the Eagles go on and win the fucking Super Bowl. And he got that. He's a beautiful blacksmith. Like, it was a very fine, heavy piece.
Yes, you need, it's really big and awkward. So, like, you need to have either video or picture or whatever.
I will. I'll take a picture.
Of you opening a beer with it.
With the Eagles.
With the Eagles. Huge, awkward thing, but it's awesome.
You know, it's fun. I'm going out we're heading to LA. I'm going to interview Miles Teller's coming back on the show.
Yeah.
He's a diehard Eagles fan. Maybe I'll bring it out.
Oh, there you go.
For him to open up some beers with, because God. Yeah.
There you go. Put it in the bag.
Yeah. Just
throw it in the bag. Put it in your carry-on so that they have to see it in the x-ray.
Yeah.
And put it right on top too. Because there's some sharp edges as well.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you'll definitely get questioned, and you'll definitely get, like,
oh, for sure,
pulled aside. We may even miss our flight.
Yeah, well, it'd be worth it, you know. I just quick little joke. It'd be worth it.
Do you want to hear about some fake news from Rolling Stone?
Yeah, that's what do you got?
So I got a reader's poll, the 10 worst bands of the 90s.
Oh, is Jimmy Buffett on there?
No, this is fake news. I don't agree with these.
All right, let's see. What do we got? Who's number 10?
Number 10 is Dave Matthews Band.
Not a Prayer. That's stupid.
That's a stupid.
No.
But it is reader's poll, by the way. So, like, all of them, I get it.
All of them individually, Dave Matthews included, are all extremely talented musicians who, fuck, man, you'd kill to, like, Carter Beaufort, their drummer, is arguably the best drummer in the world. Anybody would kill to have that guy. The saxophonist right before he died was amazing. Dave Matthews is amazing. Bass player, he's okay. But that's about the only weak link in that band, I would say. That I don't agree with that one.
You can't.
No.
And especially number 9, Ace of Base. What are you? Well, what are you?
I saw the signs. High? Yeah, I can get it. I can agree on that one.
All That She Wants?
Yeah, I can agree on that.
That she wants
is another baby. Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful Life.
Yep. Good. I'm good on all the Ace
okay
of Base
okay
songs.
Okay. I'm not like making I'm not terrible. Like bringing you over not, to my
no,
side.
No.
Number 8, I also do not agree with.
Who do you got?
Spin Doctors. Two friends. Princess and for you. Da-da-da-da. What I said now.
They had one other song. What was it?
Oh, Pocket. No.
The Spin Doctors.
Yeah.
That's really
Little Miss
funny.
Can't Be Wrong. That's the only song that they have on here. I don't remember it.
All right. Yes, you can throw the Spin Doctors on that list to me.
Right?
Yeah, they're on the top 10 list. Yes, that's it.
You could throw it on the worst list?
Yeah.
No, I would take them right off.
Get the fuck out of here.
When that song comes on, try not to be happy.
2 out of 3 I'm good with so far. Who do you
Here's another one that you and I hope don't agree on. Bush. Number 7. Bush.
Bush? Is that...
Glycerine, like...
That's Gwen Stefani's.
Yes.
Lavour.
Old Lavour. Father of her. Million.
I don't agree with
Glycerine,
that actually.
Come Down.
Gavin Rossdale was pretty fucking
rad.
Are
you kidding? Yeah. And especially, let's talk about, like, these were in the 90s. Like, people loved them.
Bush was huge, man. I mean, they were fucking huge.
Yeah. Bush was big. Loved. Beloved.
Beloved band.
Beloved. The other Spin Doctor song was Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Loved.
Little Miss, can't be wrong.
No. You can put them on that list. I'm okay with that. I'm not gonna bitch.
Okay,
over that.
Number 6, Hootay and the Blowfish.
I disagree.
I know they're just naming great bands from the 90s.
Oh boy, James, you were
no, but in the 90s.
I know.
Did you hate them in the 90s?
No. And
thank
I think
you.
I
you
think,
hate them now, maybe.
I don't hate them now. I actually don't. I look, Hootie, Darius Rucker, aka. Has a very successful country career, and that entire look. This will sound completely lame, but it's fucking true. That entire album, front to back, was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm with it.
That one I don't agree with. I think the name alone, Hootie and the Blowfish, got them a lot of fucking heat. But That they put out a good album, whereas the Spin Doctors to me didn't. They put out one song and that was it.
Two.
Oh God, I'm not giving you that second one, but
you said there was two. Little
I thought
Miss?
There was two, but then when you said Little Miss, I was like, I don't like that song. So it's one. Whereas Hootie, that's a full album worth of hits. I feel like everybody knows that entire Hootie album.
Yeah. Front to back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you loved it. And you loved the videos. And you listened to it. Yeah. Don't lie.
Yeah.
Number five, I don't even want to say because it sounds so ridiculous that it's on here.
Okay.
Nirvana.
You're kidding,
How
right?
can that even be?
Isn't Rolling Stone?
Yeah. Again, reader's poll.
That now that right there, like
fake news.
Yeah, that's fucking insanity.
This is fake news.
That's insanity.
Number four.
I'm not even gonna justify.
No, I'm not
Nirvana
even. I'm just
because
gonna
it's,
like.
Jesus Christ! How many
I
fucking albums did they sell? They're Unplugged and
is monumental.
Yeah, and they had two unbelievable albums. Like fuck that. They had three unbelievable albums. I can't hear that one.
Your opinion is wrong, you guys.
Yeah.
Your opinion is wrong. So. Number four, again, I'm going to agree, Hanson.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to agree that, I mean, I'm going to say that they shouldn't be on
no,
here.
No, they should definitely, that like.
And you are going to agree that they are going to be on here.
They should be on that list
yeah.
of, okay. of terrible bands.
I'm not
going to
go into my love of Hanson.
That's fine.
Again, because I've already gone there.
Don't want to hear it.
Oh, interesting so. For interesting for a podcast
to shut down the
to just be like I don't want to hear
nope.
what you have to say
I can't hear any
run the
Hanson
boards
arguments.
And shut the fuck up
yeah I can't hear right? any Hanson arguments
these white ladies they tonight. Get uppity don't they
fucking crazy
it's like you cannot get them to just sit down
yeah and shut up yeah.
Number three I agree with Limp Bizkit. Bizkit.
Oh, Bizkit.
Bizkit.
Man.
You have to agree with that. If you don't.
I agree that they what?
Deserve to be on here.
That one's tough because they had big hits and they were a big band at the time.
They were always annoying to me though. I never once was like, even when they were big, I never once was like, I like you.
All right. But I can still recognize the fact that they had massive hits. Like when Nookie came on, people lost their fucking shit. And Fred Durst was, I mean, shit, he was riding a wave for, you know, 8-9 years.
Mm.
So that one's a tough one for me.
Okay.
I would venture to say they do not deserve to be on that list. There's probably other worse bands.
Okay, I do not agree.
Who do we got at number two?
Nickelback.
Oh, there should have been one with a bullet.
For sure, that's an obvious.
With a fucking bullet, yes.
Obvious.
They are the goddamn worst band ever. I can't.
Yep, definitely.
I can't even
definitely,
do it.
Definitely.
And Chad Kroeger, the lead singer, he was married to Avril Lavigne.
They were did that end?
Canada's finest couple. Yeah, mm. Yeah, that ended. They got divorced and, you know, obviously... That rumor about Avril Lavigne dying 10 years ago and her stunt double living on is
ridiculous. Yeah.
But
ridiculous.
Could be
true. Sure. Number one.
Yeah.
Can you take me higher?
Who's that band?
Creed.
Creed. Holy shit. I forgot
then
about Creed.
I'm not open.
Yeah. Yeah. They look, Creed is not a good band, but they had some mega hits. Not only that, like, this is a funny story. We were doing The New Guy, and there was, at the end of the movie, I'm supposed to say, ladies and gentlemen, there's this huge band playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lyle Lovett was in the movie.
Sure.
With me, and they were like, you know, we'd like you to say Lyle Lovett. And the studio came back and was just like, no, he's in the movie, like that's too tongue in cheek. We need a band that's cool for kids now. And so we don't have the cast, we have no say in this. So like comes down from the studio, you get these rewrites, and then that's what it is. So like I when you go to your trailer in the morning, you get a different colored script. So that means there's changes to the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember we had gone through so many iterations on that movie that it was we were down to salmon. So on your call sheet, it just said, "Hey, look out for your salmon sides."
Right.
Like salmon colored sides is what we're using today.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, Chantilly. Cool. So when I got to that scene, I had to say the band that they chose from the studio at Sony was Creed.
Creed.
Ladies and gentlemen, Creed will not be performing tonight. I repeat, will not be performing tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Creed was the band they chose. And I was like, and even at the time, because we shot that in like, I don't know, 2001, somewhere in there. I fucking, like, because you're still close to the 90s at that point. Even at the time, I remember thinking, I was like, Creed? Fucking band sucks,
mm-hmm.
dude.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we saying Creed? And they were mm-hmm. like, well, the studio thinks they're cool. And I was like, of course they do.
Of course they do. That's a band that an older suit would be like,
yes.
Ugh, I really like them.
With arms wide open.
I can really get down to them.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
So whenever, you know, I hear that line or somebody says that to me, and I'm like, Creed will not be performing. So I was like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. I never forget who that was. I know the guy personally who made that decision at the studio. And like, it fits. It is the exact person you were thinking of. Guess an age. Guess a...
Right.
Like, guess how old the guy is.
Of the guy that picked it?
Yeah.
50, late 50s, yeah. 60.
He was about 50. I would say he was 50. late 40s, early all 50s. Right. Couldn't tell. You know, it was just like, all right, cool. So yeah. Fuck, man. Fuck. I don't agree with that list.
I don't agree with a lot of the stuff on the list. Probably I don't agree with any of it because at the time, these were all huge bands.
Yeah.
Okay. Besides Creed, Nickelback, and Limp Bizkit, which were 1, 2, and 3,
Limp-beezy.
I was down with every other band on there.
Ace of Base.
Ace of Base.
That's fucking terrible. That's terrible.
All that she wants.
Is another baby.
Oh,
I mean, don't even sing that song. Just speak that line out loud. All that she wants is another baby. And what? Why? Well, why is that worthy of a song?
Well, it's pretty. I mean,
and why would you dance to that at a lot club?
Of people, yeah.
Why would you dance to that line specifically at a mm-hmm. club? All that she wants is another baby. Oh fuck. Get my drink and meet me out on the dance floor. This song.
This is my dream.
Yeah.
Me too.
I want another baby.
Me too.
What? Yeah. Why are you dancing
I'm
like that?
I'm trying to.
Yeah, we're all trying to. I'm ovulating. Is another baby. All that she wants is another baby.
It's a beautiful life.
Yeah. I
oh, oh.
So like... Dave Matthews, that's a crazy, and these were fans that fucking voted on
those readers poll. So like even under Rolling Stone is like, Jesus, who picked these?
But, oh really?
Yeah, but okay. It's like a lot of people.
I'll give Rolling Stone a pass on that then.
Yeah.
Look,
it's interesting to see what like statistic wise people would choose, or are they just picking bands that they remember?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have to do this poll. I guess I remember the Spin Doctors. Oh, yeah, Spin Doctors, again, should not be on there. I think I remember Ace of Base, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
are you
there's
really
a lot
putting
worse
the,
bands in the 90s, I think, than those. At least those bands had some hits. Nirvana, what the fuck? And Dave Matthews, what? In what world?
Yeah, like, what about, like, Sonny Came Home?
Yeah,
or Rockabye.
Rockabye.
Yeah, Rockabye.
Was that 90s?
Rockabye. Yeah.
Was it
right?
Really?
Maybe 2000s, man.
Fucking knows,
maybe
James.
2000s.
Who
if anybody's going to know.
Fucking knows.
If anyone's going to know the right answer to stuff.
It's probably me. Yeah, not a prayer. Your Google search is very Helen Keller-ish. It's very reminiscent of your portrayal as Helen Keller in the popular film Helen Keller versus Night Wolves.
Ooh.
Written and directed by the Messiah, Ross Patterson. It's that time in the show, kids. We get to the revolutionary figure of the day, shall we?
We shall.
This one is going out to Jose Montaner. Does that name ring a bell to you?
Jose Montaner?
Yeah.
No.
Shouldn't. Okay. In 1973, a medieval reenactment dinner theater was set up by Mr. Montier on his estates on the Spanish island of Mallorca. Later, a private company was formed. And in 1977, a castle was opened in Spain with the support of investors in the United States. The first of 9 medieval times restaurants started. And the first one was in Kissimmee, Florida, in December of 1983.
Kissimmee.
Yeah, Kissimmee.
Kissimmee. Yeah.
As a kid, we used to call it Kissimmee.
Oh, yeah. That's so cute. 98.
Isn't that nice?
98.
What?
Rockabye Sean Mullen.
Rockabye.
Everything's gonna be all right. Rockabye.
There's a song that I absolutely hated.
What?
Billy Dean, James Dean. God, you know what I'm talking about.
I think, but like you don't know who.
God, I don't know. I feel like the guy was like a one-hit wonder. Hey kids, rock and roll, rock on.
Oh, rock.
Whatever song that is, I fucking hate.
Damn. Billy Jean.
Yeah, whatever it is. I think it's 90s, and I hated that song more than life itself.
You guys know it.
Like that, it made me so uncomfortable every time it came on. I was like, oh, God. I just pictured like a gay man, an older gay man, like trying to hook up with like a younger gay boy. And it was just like, hey, kids, rock and roll, rock on.
That's not the words, but I get
it. Just giving a little Brendan Fraser taint rub with a middle finger. With a middle
finger. Just a little gooch.
Yeah, just a little gooch swap.
Yeah.
And
swab. A little gooch swab.
The old middle finger gooch swab. That's what I think of when I hear that song. It makes me so uncomfortable. God, I can't. Even today, if I hear that out, I cringe. Fucking cringe.
But you know, I love that. I love thinking of cringy songs.
I can't stand
it. Oh, it's my favorite because I just go, oh, God.
And no one will press the fucking channel on a radio inside a car faster than me when a song comes on that I hate.
Right.
I just can't stand it. It is it's one of my worst, besides going to prison, that's like my worst fear is like just having all shitty songs on the radio. The more you know. You're welcome for that. Hey, key, rock and roll, rock on. God damn it. That's my
gosh,
my one word impression there of, you know what I'm talking about, Nick Nolte.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's my
yeah.
one word Nick Nolte impression right there.
God damn it.
That's all I do is one word of that. James, we've gotten weird enough tonight.
You think?
I think it's time to put the microphones down, maybe call it a night.
I'm going to just keep the mic. Well, you can turn it off.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to be in the room by myself.
It. Yeah.
Holding it.
In the
and
mirror.
Maybe talking into it. Sure. But to myself.
All right. You can do that.
Maybe singing.
I'm going to catch some shut eye.
Okay. Have fun with that. Everything.
Oh, God.
Gonna be all right.
Cool. Well, this kid's gonna rock a bye. For Jesse Wiseman, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.